Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
by Jay Hatter, and the singer and writer of the music is Shout Even Shy. An amazing poem and an incredibly beautiful rendition. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio group that hangs out at allpoetry.com, one of the largest sites out there. If you're a member, or if you happen to join, you can look us up under the group tab, again, A Team of Voices, and knock on the door, and I'll meet you there. If you're in earshot and would like to participate, the number to dial is 1-646-668-2837. Again, 1-646-668-2837. And we are here just about every night of the week with a different topic, sharing poems and hanging out and laughing and crying and having a great time. Would love to see you here. And I have some people to let in at the moment, starting with my co-host, my big brother, Hatter. Hello, Hatter.
Hey, yeah.
That's it. That's the ticket. And from down in Oz, Mr. A.P. Taylor, the wizard. Welcome to the show.
G'day. How are you?
I am trying to talk over the noise so that you guys don't hear all that banging outside. But I'm hanging in there. I also would like to say hi to the best gal ever, Sky, Sky, Sky. Hey, Sky.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? And right behind Sky, Sky, Sky is one half of the dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life. It's Stephen. Hey, Stephen. Welcome to the show. So glad you're here.
Glad to be here. How's your teeth, Sky?
Oh, they're sore. They're aching all right.
Didn't I just hang up from you guys? I think so.
Yeah,
I do too. And right behind Stephen is Mr. Wayne Gent. Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it helps. It's spinning. Come on, Juan.
How y'all doing tonight?
Spinning. There it is. Hello, Wayne.
Hi, Wayne.
Yes. Hi.
Very glad you're here.
I'm feeling pretty good tonight. I'm feeling pretty good.
Good. I think a few of you are nicely medicated so that you can sit up and participate, and I appreciate that. As a matter of fact, I think half of us at the moment are medicated for one reason or another.
Hey. I got a card.
Hey,
how you doing, Wayne?
I'm eating a little oxy things, and they're making me feel good. Ain't no pain right now for a change. Doing good.
No pain is good.
Yeah.
Enjoy it while you can.
I've had 3 weeks of solid pain. Don't want no more.
Yuck.
I don't want any more for any of you. It's like too much time for some fun, some pain-free laughter. All right. Let me see here. I would imagine that with everything going on, a few people have some time crunches here. So we'll start out of the country. AP, do you need to go before Stephen, or can you go after Stephen?
I am good. I am good for the first hour, Deb. I have done my board meeting already this morning, so I have been there, done that.
Oh, wow. Well, aren't you showing off? Well, that's pretty perfect, because I think we can pretty much do an hour tonight. So what I will do then is I will, I'll do Stephen and then Sky, unless Sky, did you need it to be the other way around?
Nope. I have 25% battery, and I think that can get me through Stephen. So,
okay, and then last question goes to Mr. Wayne. How long do you think you'll be able to hang out, Wayne?
Until the girls show up or something, I'm going to hang out for an hour anyway, unless they show up and go crazy. We've been on a warpath today, so I'm saying I'm not.
Okay.
I may not come back. I'll be here for an hour, so can't talk
all
about
right. And we'll try not to make you laugh, although there weren't many funny photos. So I can't wait to see where you guys went with these, because some of these are, like, so outrageous. So, okay, now, Stephen and his lovely bride just finished this show, so let me go get his poll, because he took his really early, so I'm anxious to see what he did with this photo. So, Stephen, how about, just before you start reading, tell us what's going on at Poetic Slice this week, and then dive in and start us off with a poem.
I can do that. Of course, our next show is Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, and it is a kind of a two-part type series that we start to do once a month. For Wednesday night, we're going to focus on the movie The Big Chill. We have quotes from that movie to write to, so check those out. That's at 10 p.m. And then Thursday is part two with Movement of Sound, and we're going to focus on the soundtrack to The Big Chill. So we'll listen to the songs from the soundtrack, we'll learn about those songs, and we'll read some poetry inspired by those songs. And that takes us to Friday, something different with requests, Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, and it is our annual Mother's Day special. So bring a poem about Mom.
Sounds awesome, and it sounds like we went right up to Saturday. Before you read, Sky, you want to shout yours out too at Poetic Slice?
Oh, yeah. It's May the 4th be with you whole month, every month, every week in the month of May in Star Wars. So come on by, bring a Star Wars poem. This week at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's 5 and 6 Clone Wars. You could write any of the themes, scenes, characters, quotes. You can go anywhere you want, even if off topic from the topic, as long as it's on topic to the quote. Thank you.
Cool. May the 4th be with you as well. Okay, Stephen, take us away.
All right. Live long and prosper. Okay, anyway, this is, I call this Stitched Lips Scream in Ebony Silence. When libretto is slanted and dragonfly wings pinched, jotting hand restrained with straps that have been cinched, turn back to press vellum thumbed with tongued tip, and wood pulp pages fan breezes of verses that grip. When writing wrist is cuffed from above and below, red cellophane airfoils are restless and bricot. Look to papyrus where blood, no yellow fading of age, just bleed them out. End poem.
Wicked.
Pleasant words.
Yeah. I like, I'm homing in on those dragonfly wings pinched, jotting hand restrained with straps that have been cinched. There's such a creepy look to this beautiful dragonfly hanging over those hands, you know? And wood pulp pages fan breezes of verses that grip. I thought this was really cool. Red cellophane airfoils are restless. And Burko. Quite cool. And, like, you know, it's a brevity, so I could have just started saying all the lines, but if I don't leave something, I can hear Sky starting to go, come on, you know, so I'll save her at least one line. But I think this is really cool, cuffed from above and below. I mean, really creepy. And in just eight lines. And in eight lines, you scored a 10, and I know I've said this before, but it's harder with fewer words. So you're getting really good at packing them in and getting 10s for the brevity, Stephen. Damn. Impressive. Enjoyed.
Thank you.
Let's see here. Hey, Wayne, what do you think?
Well, I said, last girl I tied up like that, didn't want to leave until I tied her. And I missed my swing. I missed my swing. This is a one pretty sick poem. I enjoyed it a lot. And I'm the one supposed to be doing the bleeding them out. So don't get my career taken over. And good job with it, Steve. I enjoyed it. It's fun.
Great comment, Wayne. Cutter, what do you think?
Isn't papyrus the first stuff that they wrote on?
Yes.
It is the first, yeah. I like the use of the words you picked out. What is Burko? What is that?
Maybe a little crazy, a little feeling restrained, wanting to break out.
Okay. Really, Burko. It's like berserk.
Something like that, yeah.
What a berserk is, yeah.
Can I cut in that up?
Well done. Yeah.
Burko. Adjective. Informal Australian. Out of control with anger or excitement or berserk. A 1960s an alteration of berserk plus zero.
There you go.
That was cool. Way cool. And want to comment, AP?
Yeah, I do. I like the use of the word. I haven't seen the word Burko used in a poem in a long time, Steve. So I have to give you a tick there. But equally, there's some other beautiful words used. Libretto. What a beautiful word. And vellum. Vellum is an underused word. And so I can go through here, and there's about, you know, papyrus, airfoils. There's about five or six of them that just stand out to me. Because the actual, you know, image itself, you know, it's pretty clear what's going to happen there. It's not going to end well. But you've actually described it in such a way, that you focus on what's going to happen before it doesn't end well, and that was a really good choice. I liked it very much.
Thank you, AP.
Great comment. And Miss Sky, the best gal ever, will you comment for Stephen before you read?
Absolutely. I thought this is beautiful, beautiful language. And again, to kind of echo what everybody's saying, when you have a brevity like this, it's so important to really choose your words wisely and to really kind of stretch their wealth and their meaning, because there's so few of them. And you did that wonderfully with not only the language, but of course the lines and the depth of the piece. When writing, wrist is cuffed from above and below, red cellophane airfoils are restless, and Burko. I love that, and I love the catch rhyme, because that was just really cool and unexpected. Really well done.
Awesome comment. And hold 1 second before you dive into your poem, and let's say hello to David. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hey.
I'm glad I'm here, too. Hey, it's good to hear everybody. Thank you.
And you're just in time to hear Sky read.
Good.
Oh, thank you. So here's this really weird cat-looking thing you've got going on, Deb. All right. Warding chambers and preserving newly found roots by Sky Darkholm. I mind the three minds that guard a stoop and Gothic Etna wide wing back, a feline sphinx-like cerebus, warding chambers, and a boning of rib beneath each fabric stitch. And when breasts peel back, ready to showcase itself like flesh petals, a string of cut-out paper hearts, scored uneven, half-notes mused, and left together, clippings that flake, shake down shapes that burgeon red. When one mind holds stem and teeth, a store of roses in bloom, and the other, a twilight of travels, turned ash. It is the mind held center that reaps balance, resplendent in her stillness, ever grasping a vantage of stability, perpetually winnowing the detritus of dead leaves and newly found roots. End poem. And I went the route of the metaphor. I hope it makes sense to you guys.
You know, this is a perfect example of a person, you, Sky, who's really progressed in writing, and the way you write is outstanding. It's very professional. It's always, always true. Very good. Well, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Hatter.
That's okay, Hatter. I like that you were moved to just jump in. Very cool. But no, I'm sitting here, and for a minute I was giggling because I always say to Sky, it's those naked cats, because I can't ever remember what they're called, but I always, for some reason, put them with poor Sky. But no, this is really cool. I mind the three minds that guard. That's so awesome. A boning of rib beneath each fabric stitch. And when breast peels back, ready to showcase itself like flesh petals, a string of cut-out paper hearts. That's brilliant, a string of cut-out paper hearts. I mean, I really, really love that part. And what was that other thing that got me? When one mind holds stern and teeth, a store of roses in bloom, and the other, a twilight of travels turned ash. I like the darkness, but the darkness is mixed with softness, too, with stuff like the petals. And then you put the flesh there, and it's, you know what I mean? So there's the contrast of the beauty versus the darkness is pretty cool throughout. Back to those cut-out paper hearts, though, I really, really love that, because it does. It's like cut open and peeled back, and I think when I said to you, I got that naked cat, and it's got like three heads. But I like how it's like part of this chair, this wide wing back, so that the wording in it is pretty brilliant as well. a vantage of stability, perpetually winnowing. I mean, really, really awesome. I don't know if medieval is the word I'm looking for, but sort of. But I think that you did a brilliant job with this. I'm glad you ran with it when I mentioned it. Let me give you some comments.
Thank you, Pat. I think, if I may, I think when you're exposing your heart and you're offering it, or when you're thinking about offering it, there are three minds. The one that's hopeful with the rose, the one that has the burnt ashes of what happened before, and the one that kind of has to balance the two and make the decision and try to go through those dead leaves or try to move on and give itself away. And I think there's that balance. So I thank you for running with that.
If it, wondering whether or not to let it down, let them in. I know it came out excellent. Casey has to go. Let me go right to Stephen first.
Yeah, I guess I kind of went that direction with my comment, but I just said that the man was speaking out of the personalities that we all have, because in different situations we can be three completely different people. And I thought that this was a wonderful metaphor to that, as well as a perfect right to the picture. Very well done.
Thank you, Steve.
Awesome comment. And appreciate you, Steven. I will talk to you soon. I guess I'll see you Wednesday.
Yes, indeed.
Take
it easy, everybody.
Love and respect. And let's see, how about we get a comment? Thank you. How about we get a comment for Sky from David?
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I love the way you read it, Sky. You did it. You did your own poem a lot of justice by reading it. When I saw this prompt on the list, I thought, what in the heck would I do with this? And you ran with it and plugged it in, and it's really cool. The center cat in this picture kind of reminds me, it's got a little bit of an H.R. Giger thing going on with it, if you're familiar with him, and the two cats on each side of it are pretty weird. I really like what you did with this. I couldn't have done anything with it. That's why I didn't pick it. But your storyline is really good in this, and it's fascinating. I'm going to read it over a couple times more, but I was so taken with it when I was listening to you read it that I really didn't try figuring it out too well. But it's really, really a cool poem, and pat yourself on the back for this one. I think this is really good.
Thank you very much. When I seen that picture too, I thought, what was I going to do with it? And then I kind of just thought of, I thought of Cerberus and Hades and how Cerberus is guarding, mm-hmm. the underworld. So that's, so I was like, oh, what can it guard? So that's kind of where I left. Thank you.
Yeah, you did good. Excellent.
Yeah. Awesome comment. And Wayne? Hey, Adam.
I said, well, I think I've been through the same thing. A boning of rib beneath the fabric, each fabric stitch. When the breast peels back, oh, man, that's how I heard you think about that. And after that, he said, well, when one mind is holding stem and teeth, he said, repentance is a stillness, ever grasping advantage of stability. Yep, I've been through that. It's exactly perfect the way he explained it. And great job with this. You did a great job reading it. Enjoy the poem. Painful.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, did you just try to say something?
I was going to ask if I could be so rude as to read some. I did write something, finally. I've had writer's block for weeks. So.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what.
I put it in
here. How about if we let you go before AP? But let me let AP comment for Sky first.
Good. Yeah, what I thought about when I saw the picture and what I thought about when I saw your descriptions was it was almost like the scales of justice, you know, when you had truth and fairness and had the balance in the middle, and it was sort of represented by cats. Now I know you sort of described it slightly differently, but for your it when you talked about it. But I just couldn't get that sort of image away from my head of that sense of balance that was coming through the poem. It came through the words and it came through the story that you told, which was really fun.
Thank you. Thank you, Ippy.
Awesome comments. Thank you, everyone. And thank you, Sky. And Hatter, is your poem called Can You See Where I Have Gone? Or did
yes.
you not put it up yet?
Yeah, I got I did put it up.
Okay.
It should be listed there right after AP.
Oh, I see it. Okay. All right. Well, then, take us away.
Me? I go before AP?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Can you see where I've gone? Calling it this. I regret what I know and most of what I don't. The things I said in haste and those I said I won't. Remembering the words that knocked me down and those I failed to hear. And all the things you lied about, whispering in my ear. I lost the dreams I held for you, they're hidden in my heart. Please take them before you leave, they're tearing me apart. Can you see where I have gone? I cannot find my way home. And if you could, would you please tell me if I'm standing there alone?
Infant. Damn, Hatter. Marshmallow strikes again. I lost the dream I held for you, hidden in my heart. Please take them before you leave. They're tearing me apart. We got, what, 2, 4, 8 lines, and like, you just flayed me with the emotion. Between the title and the closing couplet even, can you see where I have gone? I cannot find my way home. And if you could, would you please tell me if I'm standing there alone? Hatter, this is just so sad. It's like a gut punch. But yeah, your muse is kicking.
Been fighting writer's block for weeks.
Yeah, no, I'm glad it's out, but man, oh man, it's powerful emotion oozing from it.
Thank you, Deb.
You're welcome. Best gal ever had to drop. So how about, Wayne, what do you think of Hatter's poem?
I think he wrote a tearjerker for sure. Kind of sad, and it's got that little background hint to me of like, I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then in it. And it's a very good poem and a sad poem. Very good poem. You did a good job with this, Hatter. Brought a little tear to my eye.
Thank you, man.
Great comment. And David?
Well, this is the Hatter poetry that I remember the most. This is magical. This man has magic in his fingertips when it comes to writing poetry, and this one is exactly that. I like the opening line on the first stanza, I regret what I know and most of what I don't. That's really telling. I think it speaks to each one of us because we all feel that way from time to time. The things I said in haste and those I said I won't. Remembering the words that knocked me down and those I failed to hear and all the things you've lied about whispering in my ear. I have to say this hits me dead center because I've been there more than a few times. I'm kind of at a loss for words here. It's really a nice poem about humanity and how we deal with things and, you know, our sincerity and our sense of loss and stuff like that. And at least that's what I took away from it. I think this is really good. I wish I could write this well in that amount of lines. This is excellent. Way to go, Hatter, my old friend. Way to go.
Right?
Thank you.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Well, I try to get it, reach in your heart and rip it out. See mine.
Success. Sweet is here. Sweet. Did Hatter get you? Did you hear him?
Sweet. Hatter always gets me. I don't like you right now because of this, just so that you know. damn, Hatter. This was stunning and beautiful, and all I can say is I love you. I mean, you always break my heart. You know when I tell you not to.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Because I know that you're the marshmallow over my sweet potato pie. So you comfort me with your warm greenness.
I'm never going to live that down. Thank you, Lady A.
Right. No, you're never going to live that down, Hatter. This is true. And, you know, just a thought occurred to me that there are people that toss marshmallows in their sweet potato recipes. Just saying. So, AP, his muse is alive. What did you think?
Well, it made me smile, Deb, because, you know, when Hatter sort of shows up and the muse arrives at the door, there's nobody that can write like him. He just writes brilliantly. And he rhymes brilliantly, but he just hits stuff. And he I don't know how he does it, but he does. And it's wonderful to see. Welcome back.
Thank you, AP.
Awesome comment. And AP, your poem is on the board. Show us what you got.
Thank you. Well, compared to that. But anyway, here we go. This is by Hurst Hare, A Little Brevity, and goes a bit like this. Red painted thick the canopy of lands oozed over hills till shadows abide, as bubbled over in bloody strands towards a torso among fields did reside. Grey sky echoes the fragrance of pink, demure among thorns she gazes. Skyline screams to a crimson sink, her stare, roses painted, hell rises. End poem.
Just so happens to have 8 lines of his own here. Red painted thick, the canopy of lands oozed over hills till shadows abide, has bubbled over in bloody strands toward a torso among fields did reside. Like, mega creepy there. And you see the art with the, she's got her, like, heart gaping out of her chest, and it does look like she's in, like it all bubbled over the blood. It's just like, wow.
Works in the blood, yeah. Ever since you had the contest of picking whose line was whose, I'm looking at this. Any one of these lines I could nail, but this is AP Taylor. Very signature type of writing.
Well, you know what it is, Hatter. He's also, like when he just lets loose and writes, we see him. But he's also well practiced at hiding himself in the lines, and that's how he's getting you in Tic-Mac Banjo, because he's intentionally trying to fool you.
Yeah, so it's like a level up. You just got to sort of tippy toes and look over to see where he's coming from, how he does it. I'm always fascinated on how a poet writes. Some struggle. I used to struggle terribly and take 3 different phases to do it. Very exhausting. But now I have my...
Yeah, well, look.
Just my...
Look at this. You were pouring out mega emotions in your 8 lines, and he's slamming us with all kinds of... I was just going to say visuals, but there's also fragrances, like the echoes of the fragrance of pink.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, it's got a haunting feel to it as well. And I love
hell raises. It's got an AP structure to it, an AP structure.
Yeah.
the way he pieces, pieces them together. The puzzle.
Excellent.
Puzzle of
brevity as we did our comment together, kind of there.
yeah.
David, what did you think?
Well, I have to agree with what Hatter had to say about AP's work here. He does have a signature to it, just like Hatter has a signature to his. I think everybody in this writing group of yours, Deborah, has a style like that. We read each other's stuff so much that we're finally starting to, you know, recognize who the author is. And I really like this poem a lot. It does have a haunting quality to it. I just put that in on my comment on his poem. I like the use of, how you use the colors and the adjectives in this AP. It's really, really cool. Gray sky echoes the fragrance of pink, demure among thorns she gazes. That's really exactly what's going on in this picture. And skyline screams to a crimson sink. Her stare, roses painted, hell raised. That sort of makes you wonder about what's going on in the very last line there. But I really like this AP. I thought you did a really good job, and it's a fine piece of brevity as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Doug. Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment. And my sweet? Sweet, are you muted?
I'm muted.
I am muted. I'm muted, sorry. I don't know how many more nice things I can say to AP today. I've been very full of them. And here we go again. Classical structure, classical AP. Another beautiful piece, AP. I got to say, though, this one is a little more in-depth than in kind of more calming. I don't know. I maybe I've been finding writing some really calming pieces for me. I don't know if it's me, and I'm just kind of like in this calming mode, and I just need that soothing, like, realm you're in, and I'm just kind of falling into that zen mode with you. But that's what I'm finding in your poetry. I need to zen. I'm going to go read AP, and there you are for me. So once again, I'm calming with AP.
Thank you, sir.
Stop that. <You're welcome.
laughs> Awesome comment. And before Wayne comments, let's say hello to Linda, a.k.a. Liquid Damage. Hey, girl. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Deb. Sorry I'm late. I just was taking a nap, and Allie called, and I just went, oops, I'm supposed to be on a show. So
hey,
thank you, Allie,
for
waking me up.
Yeah. Love you.
Yeah, I'm glad she woke you up so we got to hear from you. All right, well, I'm about to have Wayne comment for AP's poem, and then I will push his recording.
All right, well, this is a great poem to go with that picture that you wrote, too. It's got a lot of the crimson blood and pink and reds, all the reds in it. Good job with the kind of little spooky. These 12 of the 50 words were given. Did a good job with the words in. I think you did a good job on this. It's a little dark and a little scary and a lot of red and blood poking around. Good job. And this poem I wrote, I put a whole lot of words in it. I think I used all the words. And you got the highest rating I ever got for a poem. I don't know. I can't believe that, but the other ranks the highest one I ever got. Hope you enjoy it.
I love when that happens. That's fantastic. Well, then let's find out what Auto Rank thought was so amazing. How about it? You guys click on Wayne's poem, and I will push play. Wayne, here is Wayne, May 2nd. Here it is. Here we go.
This is called Battlefield Beast Returns. Leaving the life and secret shadows of a military man, no travels to jump from jets in ebony silence to land. Dozens died from mosquitoes and rodents at night. Rats with maggots run as sun slices with goldenrod light. Ankle straps, legs stitched while kneecaps float. Voices whisper door slams. Hound cutthroat. Nostrils snarl. Children scream and bloodstream crawls. Thick skull shakes. Shining red of all pupils. Stars. Cell phone clicks. Canopy clouds climb. Twilight surfing. Crimson car engine gnarls till asphalt hits highway. Shredding. Street lamp tents, painted lined houses in yellow corn maze. A shroud of dusk dwarfs this huge skyline. Day slips away. Silhouette hill, brown flesh, skin toothed woman walks. Both sides waltz on corncob barnyard floor, waving lily stalks. Barbed dogwood eyelids drop. Jasmine eyes from socket. Roseberry clone fragrance hiss as torso respiration rockets. Flashlight spots marked where wrist snap, yanking blood, bloody hand. Scratch back rains gobs of gut blood onto top of wood stand. Hushed pieces collide with kernel rust wire and wrestle. Blonde haired baby wears bow ribbon and booty crack tassel. In.
Holy smokes, Wayne, I can't believe you used all those words. I have no idea how many there were. Is that 174 in your author's notes total, or how many?
That's total. I didn't count the words. I didn't count how many words.
Yeah, I just looked. Yeah, there's a lot. I was going to say it's a big list. Yeah, I think it's one of the largest word banks I've put out. I'm in awe that you put them all in here and made sense with them and made brilliant metaphors like town cutthroat, nostril snarl. I mean, children scream and bloodstreams crawl. I could see the visuals there. Thick skull shakes, shining red eyeballs, pupil stalls. The alliteration's awesome, the rhyme, the details. I'm just almost stuttering over the fact that you used all those words, Wayne.
Me too.
I know you've used like 120 before, but this has to be a record for you with using the word bank words seriously. And like with visuals like ankle strap, legs stitched, while kneecaps float, voices whisper, door slam, cut throat. I mean, there's just so many vivid details that pull us through, all from the werewolf and the bunny photo there. Flashlight spots mark where wrists snap, yanking bloody hands, scratched back, deep and dark and my, oh, my. You outdid yourself with this word bank. I'm just beside myself at the thought that you packed all those words in there. And it doesn't just sound like you threw a bunch of words on the paper. You actually threaded it into a story. So it's, like, quite brilliant, Mr. Wayne.
Well, thank you.
You guys are doing some stellar stuff when yous are in pain, I tell you. Fabulous share. Let me go to Linda first.
Yeah, Wayne, this was like really cool. I thought it was deep and intense with such awesome imagery and metaphoric mastery. Your story was enlightened by a strong read. You brought out a lot of hidden corners in your poem by how strong you read it. And yeah, your word bank, wow. You know, I used a few more words in mine this time than I had to, but this is it just unbelievable. You did a really, really good job. It's like just intense. So great job on the writing and your rhyme scheme as well was awesome. So thank you for sharing it with us, darling. Very nice.
Thank you, Linda. It's a hell of a comment. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, what did you think?
I found it interesting that he started off as a military man, shadows of a military man in from the picture. I find that an in-depth visual from it. Very, very much so. So I really think the beginning was very strong and introduced the rest of the poem very well. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you, Shannon. Appreciate it. If you looked at me and came home, then you couldn't get
on
when you got home.
Yeah. That's funny. I was trying to finish. I'm trying to finish a piece that starts somebody in a foxhole. What you're thinking of in a foxhole.
Yep.
So I start out with the military man. I thought that was interesting. Good job.
Appreciate it.
Awesome comment. And my sweet.
I'm muted.
Sweet, are you muted?
I'm sorry, it's the dogs. I'm trying to behave. I just think it's a real warning to all of you that you best watch who and what you put your hands on. And in the dark, you never know what's crawling around on your little behind, or as she says, your crack castles. Because I thought that was hilarious, by the way, crack castles. but that was fabulous. That was a great read. And bravo for you, all those words, Wayne. And personally, I think y'all have something on us. Like, it's like the 60s when they wrote music on some hallucination drugs. I think we got way too many of you guys up there.
Way too many.
I'm wondering.
Hallucination drugs.
Awesome. And AP, what did you think?
Well, there are some pieces of poetry like mine, they're a little bit like a delicate rosé. They're sort of somewhere between a white and a red. And this one, with all the word usage and stuff, is really a full-blown Shiraz. You know, it's heavy, it's thick on the palate, lots of charcoal and berry flavors, and it's just really cleverly written.
Thank you very much, Jerry B. Appreciate it.
Awesome comment. And David, will you comment for Wayne and then show us your poem, please?
Yes, ma'am. Wayne, I really like this. You outdid yourself on this one, as far as I'm concerned. The music that you used in the background was perfect. And I like the way you read it. You did it in a nice, slow manner, and you emphasized everything that was important in it. I really like this poem. Had a great storyline in it, and is one of my favorites of yours. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Otto Rank.
Great comment.
Oh.
Your turn.
Okay, Deb, you want me to... Huh?
Your turn, please.
Oh, okay. sorry. Is Sweet ready to rock and roll with this?
I am.
Okay. All right. Here we go. This one's called The White Queen, and I don't know, something about this lady really struck me in my heart, and so it kind of went that way, and it sounds like this. She floats in storm clouds of the present in lily shades of white, this woman of millions, a bloody stiletto, beautiful fugitive of past tense, in her right hand the crown of loss, left hand holds the rose of crimson painted with the blood of heartache, for she has been the mother of all the lost children who died before their time. She is the wife of all lost husbands to other women or the wages of war. And in each of these, she lost pixels of her countenance, ghosting her in silence, little by little. Voices from those children that screams.
Help me, Mommy. I don't want to go.
Their words, such a keen edge as a scimitar pierced her very soul till she cried out.
My sweet child, for I cannot keep thee. Please forgive me. I have died a thousand times over for each of your shadows that have vanished through no fault of my own. Each night I die a little for each of thee.
The White Queen weeps the tears of legends, her heart floating in a sea of despair, such weight to bear. Still, her heart bears no calluses. This nobility keeps her afloat. She bears the albatross of infidelity hung around her pale neck by every husband that cheated on his wife, its crushing weight of discovery, heartsick to her core, slices quantum bits of trust towards all men. Each night, she resurrects her soul, seeks answers to those reflections of her mirror, those questions she asks.
Am I still... Can you read that? I'm sorry. Am I still... I'm sorry, I can't read that word. I don't have my glasses. Did I not love him with all of me? Sorry.
Her tears of blood, the deepest shades of red, gives her no peace in her dreams.
I fear I am just a ghost of my former self.
Her blue eyes, the color of the sky, and like it, look down upon her past. Such indiscretions in the timeline cover the sky with rolling blackness of the night stitched in white likeness of her skin. The dark mother holds her pale queen and kisses her. End poem.
Wow, she really did speak to you, David. You had said that there was something in her eyes, and it shows, man, oh man, beautiful fugitive of past tense in her right hand, the crown of loss. Her left hand holds the rose of crimson. But there's something about that in the middle there, in her right hand, the crown of loss. That the crown of loss seems like such a sad, lonely thing. She is the wife of all lost husbands to other women, of her wages of war, and in each of these. Imagine if she was feeling the pain of all the women who lost husbands. I mean, the overbearing loss and sorrow would be staggering, you would think, you know. I mean, how could she even just stand there if she was feeling for the world of women who've lost their men? So she, I'm blown away by how she got to you, Dave. And then I like the pieces that you wrote in for Sweet. Help me, Mommy, I don't want to go. I mean, and the voice you used for that line, Sweet, that was perfect. It was gave me the chills. She bears an albatross of infidelity hung around her pale neck. I mean, really, I think that you did a brilliant job with this, and I can't emphasize enough how much it shows that this woman really got to you. And if you look at that, everything in the picture and how tiny that crown is, I'm really blown away by that metaphor, though, David, crown of loss. Kind of jealous that I didn't
think
of something about that myself. Really awesome. And a great read with him, Sweet. Do you want to comment on it first?
Yes. First, I'm sorry I couldn't see that word. The I and the R's and all that. I didn't know if they were N's or whatever. Sorry, I should have worn my glasses.
Thank you for reading it.
Oh, not a problem. I love this. One thing I want to point out is I really like the fact that you made her White Queen instead of a Black Queen or black or a dark color, because she's taking on these sins and these grievances and this sorrow and all of that, and you made her the color of, like, purity, that she's absorbing all of this pain, and yet she's holding the rose, and she's white, and she's a sign of hope, of light. And I really liked that thought process. Even though she's having all this pain, and she has the sign of love in the rose, and she has the sign of white, this light. And I really thought, I really loved that contrast. and you gave her that, and she's, you know, heart sick, and she's taking on these children, and the pain of a wife who has lost a husband, or a husband who's cheated on her, and all of this. And she's, you know, Dark Mother holds her and kisses her and says, it's going to be okay. And you just have that. And, you know, I thought your descriptions and your metaphor and your storytelling and all that was spot on. But I was truly impressed that you left her the beacon of hope and light, and yet she's swallowing all this pain and darkness. So I really enjoyed that part of it.
Well, thank you, sweet. Thank you very much.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, I think this is the next level of poetry, is the performance art. Well done, Sky. I mean, Sky. Sweet. That's ingenious to ask somebody to narrate part of it. Also, I think this is two poems, very, very strong two poems. The White Queen, when you describe the pain she's in, I can't remember where exactly I would cut it, but I do believe that you got two poems there. But both well done.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I said, you sent Sweet into the White Queen. I thought they was twins anyway. They're both 60s hill. I just found a point when you read it, you got down to where it says, seek answers from the reflections, where I finally got to the point, so I lost out on part of it, but a great storyline, and you got a hell of a co-star there with you, and good job, Dave. I used to use that, help the mom, I don't want to go, like you did when I was growing up a lot. Help me, I don't want to go, please help me. But it's great job, Dave, enjoyed it.
Thank you, Wayne, thank you.
Awesome comment. And Linda, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was just lovely, David. Very intriguing, and very deep. And it's I too was impressed at your duet, Sweet. You did a really good job, and you know I was impressed at the fact that she wasn't bitter. You didn't write about a bitter person who had gone through all the loss of husbands to other women, or the wages of war, and in each of these she lost pixels of her continence. Usually that would turn out to be a bitter person, and you didn't go that route. So I like that you gave her an emotional reality. And showed her loving side, and that was cool. But you did a really good job, you guys. Thank you very much for sharing it.
Thank you, Linda.
You're very welcome.
Awesome comment. And I have a caller at area code 323. Let's see who we got here. Hello, caller, area code 323. Who am I speaking to?
Yeah, my name's Joe.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Okay.
Hi, Joe.
I want to find out if a person, hey, people, can a person call in and recite a poem, or are there hoops that a person has to go through before doing that?
Well, there's not too many hoops. Are you on All Poetry or not? You don't have to be. I'm just curious. No? Okay. Is your poem PG-13 friendly?
I haven't thought about it, but I prefer to use profanity when it's applicable.
Okay, because we're a PG-13 show, so like you know, it would depend on the wording. Let me see what we can do. All right. In the meantime, I have some people in the queue ahead of you, so you want to listen to the
poem?
No,
I'm not going to do any poem tonight. I'm just wondering. I just wanted to call in.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. As long as it would be awesome to hear you read. You have a great voice. I just wanted to check to make sure it would be PG-13 friendly.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
All right, since it's a PG-13 show, then that's not a problem. But I like to do some political poetry at some time. And in order to emphasize what's going on in today's world, I don't want to make it nice and mild and seem like it's antiseptic. So, but in any case,
right.
I'll let you guys go. I got the answer I was looking for, so maybe another time I'll come back and read a poem. Okay, thanks, people.
Okay.
Goodbye.
It was nice to hear from you.
Bye, Joe.
Okay. Sweet, I didn't see anything on the board before. Do you have one you can put directly on the chat wall for me? Because I have three left other than that. And Linda, hon, I don't see one for you. Were you just going to read for Miss Allie?
Oh. You know what? Let me go. Dig it up and transfer it over, or is it locked?
I actually deleted it, but it's not a problem. You can just put it right on the chat wall, like Sweet's going to do right now. So, Sweet, you want to take us away, and Linda, you can go find your link, hon.
Okay.
Sleepy.
Area code 307. I lost them. That was quick. Okay, never mind.
Sweet, unmute.
Sweet, you're muted, darling.
Okay, yeah, it's on the board. Sorry, I forgot to put it in your room, and you went away.
Not a problem.
Okay. Do you want me to read now, or do you want to?
I do, please.
Okay. Okay. It's called Blue Wings. Dichotomy size, soft candy, cane angel wings entwined in devil red strands. She tricks 5 o'clock shadow liars and whispers of whiskey and lavender. Streetlight pole dancer waltzes to the drum solo, playing a nonsensical beat. Sterling silver dagger hides in hip-high stiletto boots. Eyes never look up. Flash of silver and sapphire eyes, slit throat gurgles, death in musical tones. Mosaic blood graffiti displays on back alley asphalt. Brings falling stars burn silent sunflower wilted in the cold. No gardens to behold. Shadows of pigtails and giggles faded and alone. No picket fence dreams. Guardian angel or demon queen with a perfect slice. No stitches guaranteed. End poem.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
I can just jump into any part. Sterling silver dagger hides in hip-high stiletto boots. Eyes never look up. How cold. How cold. Oh, I love it. Flash of silver and sapphire eyes. Slit throat gurgles. Death in musical tones. That gave me the chills. Slit throat gurgles. Death and musical tones. Sweet, you have remind me to never ever get on your dark side because you got some scary stuff in there and I wouldn't want to have you retribution on me for anything. Holy cow.
Tell me about it.
right? Mosaic blood graffiti displays on back alley asphalt and brings color. I mean, and all that was just the one stanza in the middle. So you are, man, you can really, really pull the metaphors out and the descriptors that like, give me the goosebumps. And in a freaky, scary kind of way, other goosebumps on Sunday, but holy cow, shadows of pigtails and giggles faded and alone. No picket fence dreams. This is really brilliant. I didn't know where you were going to take her because, I mean, she's stunning. But sometimes yes. Beauty hides the biggest biatch and like, sounds like some of her in that middle stanza for sure. I mean, it's all brilliant to start to finish, sweet, but I can't get by that sweet, that slit throat gurgles and death in musical tones. Dastardly brilliance, my dear, and more proof why you should have that crown on your head, our queen. Your darkness and metaphors are off the hook. You're rock. You rock. I love it. Great job.
Thank you.
Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, another well done, sweet. I think in a write like this, there's one line that stands out and that really is the, and it's only four words. No picket fence dreams. That's a deep, beautiful line. Way, you know, and where you inserted it, no picket fence dreams. Shadows of pigtails and giggles faded and alone. No picket fence dreams. Now, when you read it, did you switch those? Was that line down for one? Did you read from another, or do I have am I dyslexic?
No, you're not dyslexic. I played with these lines a little bit back and forth. I usually don't play with my phones too much, but this one I played with back and forth because I wasn't sure if she was going to be a hero or a demon. And, you know, I basically still don't know. You know, is she the guardian of the lost and protecting them from the demons, or is she the demon just out killing those she thinks that, you know, is she the killer or the angel? And I'm still not sure what she is, so I'm not sure. So I kind of leave it up to the reader.
I love the picture. I'm wondering if that's computer created by a computer or painted.
I don't know, but
so hard to tell. Beautiful, though.
That's why the first, yeah. Yeah, so hence why I went with dichotomy size, because I don't know which way to put her.
Well, the artist uh-huh. too was brilliant. By she doesn't use those wings to fly. She because they're not big enough. She uses them as a
right.
as part of like her hairdo.
Mm.
Awesome. And I forget what I was going to... Oh, David, will you comment for Sweet?
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, this is really, really good. I really enjoyed this very much. I love the storyline in it. To me, this lady is a demon slayer, to me. That's the way she comes across to me from the way you've got this worded. I am mesmerized, like Deborah says, with the center stanza, sterling silver dagger hides in hip high stiletto boots, eyes never look up. Flash of silver and sapphire eyes, slit throat girdles, death in musical tones of no less. Mosaic blood graffiti displayed on back alley asphalt brings color. Yeah, the metaphors are really, really great in this, and the adjectives are very descriptive, and they fit really well in the way you worded this. boy, I just, I could read this. If it was 3,000 words, I'd read it again, you know. This is really good. I wish you'd write a few, you know, maybe a 350 worder like this. Boy, that'd be premier. But this one's good all on its own. It's premier. Just premier. Way to go, fam.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment. And I'm going to have Linda comment and read hers. But first, let's say hi to Allie.
Hi, Allie.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for waking me up.
You're welcome.
Just in time to hear Linda read, but Linda, first give Sweet a comment, please.
Yeah, she's awesome, Sweet. You wrote her just awesomely. Great imagery and great metaphoric play. Terrific darkness and even a lovable side. You combined her well between the dark and the light, and that made her like shine. She had this devilish little girl attitude, and I thought it was done very well. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you, Linda. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
And congratulations on your first show, by the way. I'm very excited for that.
Oh, yeah.
Let that go. Hello. Hello. We lose everybody? Where'd everybody go?
Yeah, where'd everybody go?
It's just me and you, Linda. We're taking over.
Sorry about that.
We're good.
Okay. I stepped into the green room. But Linda's poem is ready.
Okay, this is called Moonlight on Still Water, and it goes like this. My love for you was insane. As we waltzed to the music from an old phonograph where the amplified scratches kept in three-quarter time, I kissed your lips and felt your flesh against mine. Our love was like the moonlight on still water. Bright and cool, reflecting our feelings to one another, there could be no one but you. My insanity grew deeper. Like maggots gnawing on the inside of my brain, love was in my bloodstream, circulating through my body. Cardiomyocytes and endothelial cells interacted by remodeling the love cells now infiltrating my blood. I was sick with love for you. It invaded every cell in my body. You were mine. With every fiber of my soul, I knew I couldn't live my life without you. But then I heard you say those five little words I never wanted to hear. I don't love you anymore. And then there was silence. My voice fell like shadows in the rain, stuck in my throat. I could not speak from pain. Then the screams came. Like children that have crawled through barbed wire, now bloody, they've cut their hands and knees till crimson drops fell to the ground. The echoes haunted me and I shuddered. I fell to my knees, my eyelids swelling from the tears that fell red upon the earth. My mind finally snapped, and now insane, I lay here an angel of in-between life and death in poem.
Whoa. Man, oh, man. My love for you was insane as we waltzed to the music from an old photograph where the amplified scratches skipped in three-quarter time. I kissed your lips and felt your flesh against mine. Incredible opening. My, oh, my. My insanity grew deeper like maggots gnawing inside of my brain. Holy cow. You were mine with every fiber of my soul, and I knew I couldn't live my life without you. Then my screams came. Like childhood that have crawled through barbed wire, like children that have crawled through barbed wire. This is like gripping, dark, I'm so used to you and your sing-song, lyrical rhyme and flow that wow, you know. There's something about the beginning of each one as well. My love for you is insane. Our love was like moonlight on still water. My insanity grew deeper. You were mine. Then my screams came. I felt to my knees, my eyelids swelling. I mean, this is really powerfully dark. Caught me off guard, but it's absolutely brilliant. Whether you rhyme or you don't, you still kick butt. That's for sure.
Right. Thanks, Deb.
My sweet, I don't know how much longer you have. You want to comment for Linda and tell us about Thursday, or are you going to be able to stay for the last couple poems?
I will.
I mean, Wednesday.
Yeah, I was going to say I refuse to tell you about Thursday because I'm long from that deadly day. I no longer will associate myself with poetry on Thursday. But I shall tell you about Wednesday. But first, I will tell you about the brilliance of this poem. I fell to my knees, my eyelids swelling from tears that fell red upon the earth. Because you no longer love me. Oh, did they ever dare have the right to love you anyway? I thought this was brilliant. And I thought it was so full of raw emotion. Just like you bring out, I mean, whatever you bring, you bring it. You bring it with everything that you are, and your readers just fall into it. I mean, that ability to hook and just, it's like the scene where they put all the fish hooks in that guy's body and drags him into it. That's you. I don't care whether you're writing about dog farts or popsicle sticks or anything. This is it. You drag me in with fish hooks, and I'm there to bleed myself raw on the page because of the moment, right? And I love it. I just love this one, too. It's beautiful.
Wow, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's just beautiful.
Amazing comment. Potter, what do you think?
You know, it was amazing that I thought the same thing. You were taking all the meat, Deb. And then I said, well, that's okay. I have this observation. You just take the first line of every stanza in the red, and damn if you didn't do that too. Now, this is very good. I firmly believe the best free verse is a run-on sentence. You just let it out, and it runs on. Not, you know, this does break, but they are long line. Let me ask you, Linda, how hard was it not to start rhyming at any time? Were you able to just break out of that?
Well, if you catch it, there are a couple rhymes in it that I didn't realize at the time, but when I read it over, I realized that I did rhyme. In the first verse, where I said the old photograph where the amplified scratches skipped in three-quarter time, I kissed your lips and felt your flesh against mine. And then there's another one down towards the end. But, yeah, sometimes it has to be a conscious thing because I want to fall into that rhythmic feel and tone. So, yeah.
I can feel that. I can feel that in the piece. The definition of a rhyming poem, no matter how long it is, if there is two lines that rhyme, it's considered a rhyming poem. So good job.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. And David, will you comment for Linda?
Oh, Linda. this is really good. A little leftover from yesterday. I too, like Deborah said, it kind of shocked me that this was free verse. You know, I inject some rhyme into my free verse every now and then too. I think it's why it's called free verse. But anyhow, I really like this. It was dark, and it you express the the despair of someone that falls out of love with you, or you out of love with them, one way or the other. I like the 4th stanza down. You were mine with every fiber of my soul. I knew I couldn't live my life without you. But then I heard you say those little words, five little words I never wanted to hear. I don't love you anymore. And then there was silence. My voice fell like a shadow in the rain. That was good. Shadow and rain. That's cool. Stuck in my throat. I could not speak from pain. This was really good, Linda. I really, really enjoyed this. You're very imaginative, and that's what makes you a good storyteller as well. And it shows up in this poem very well. So nice job.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much. Well, look at the picture. I mean, I saw that picture and my heart just went, oh, my God, I have to write for this prompt. I mean, it's so intense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to happen when you guys thumb through those photos. I want something to scream at you, and you can't help but write to it even if you don't want to. That's what I like to hear, that it just grabbed you and you had to write for it.
Yeah.
My favorite. One of my favorite things.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
All right, so let's see. Miss Holly. Say that again, Hatter?
Yeah.
I think pictures are the best things to write to, the best prompts compared to quotes or yeah.
Yeah, me too, because that cliche, pictures are worth a thousand words, but it's really, really true, you know? Anyway, I'm going to have Allie comment for Linda and then read us her poem.
Okay. I said, Linda, it was amazing. I love the line, I heard you say those five little words I never wanted to hear, I don't love you anymore, because I used to relate to this so much, but now I've found you and I no longer relate. Super good job.
Oh, thank you, Allie. That's very sweet of you to say.
Is a completely different side of me that you guys haven't seen before. So, it's called The Blood in Our Bloodstream. The screams rattled my brain. The screams were loud voices. Their voices. My parents' voices. I used my cell phone back then as a way to block out the craziness. I used it to create a sense of silence. Did it always work? No. But I didn't quit. Even after my failed suicide attempt, I never quit. In fact, after that moment of insanity, is when I realized that my blood had been boiling for months, and at that point in my life, I had exploded like a volcano. I took it as a sign that my house was not a home, at least not for those two children. After all, I was helping to raise them. I couldn't leave them by themselves, knowing that their lips would only get paler. I couldn't leave them because they had eyes full of fear, so I didn't. I called using my cell phone. I said we needed help. I asked them to come without lights or sirens. I knew deep down both parents had stuff other than blood in their bloodstream. I knew just by looking, my mother's eyes were bloodshot and her pupils were constricted. What I didn't know or well expect was for me to slowly fall down the path I was shown. The night they were leaving is when I realized that sometimes all family is blood, not a loving shoulder to cry on. I feared the children and I would end up in separate houses, but we stayed together. The blood left in our bloodstream shall always be theirs. But as of now, it's clean, and I consider these two children children of my own. The silence is still too silent at night, but now our lips are red, not pink. I know now that there are people in my life willing to love me until I can fully love myself. But I was still scared at the beginning of all this, that despite throwing everything out and restarting my journeys, that I'd have to do it all alone. At the start of my journey, I thought I would have to deal with the constant thoughts that were engulfing my soul all by myself, alone.
But slowly through my journey so far, I've come to realize I'm strong, and also that I don't have to do it alone, as I have a team of voices and others by my side. End poem.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Wow. You really dug into this one from the very first line. The screams rattled my brains. The screams were loud voices. The voices, my parents. And there's just something so mind-boggling, so wrong about the... A parent's voice is supposed to be something that comforts you. It's supposed to sound like home, feel, and for instead it to be loud screams that rattle the brain is a very sad thing. And on a side note, in the second stanza, I'd have to say that I'm very thrilled to know that you failed at something, especially when it's a suicide attempt. I'm glad that you didn't quit, that you fought, that you are still here, that you're still living and learning daily. And with stuff like I called using my cell phone, I said we needed help, and I asked them to come without lights or sirens because you're afraid of what might happen before they come through the door. So the details and the emotion in this was really, really gripping and powerful. And it's very sweet that at the end you said that you come to realize that you're strong and that, you know, you've done it by hanging out with people here. So, you know, it's a very endearing ending to the poem as well. So beautiful read and a powerful write. Hatter, what did you think?
Very moving. The sincerity of the responsibility for the two children, the way you used that, was very well done, Allie.
Thank you, Hatter, and thank you, Deb.
You're welcome. And I want to get a comment from Linda, please.
Allie, this was just stunning. You put your whole heart and soul into this piece. And this verse here, I was helping to raise them. I couldn't leave them by themselves, knowing that their lips would only get paler. I couldn't leave them because they had eyes full of fear, so I didn't. That is such a stunning verse. Knowing that their lips would only get paler, what a visual that is. It got me to my core. But this is very well written, Allie, and yeah, it's a little bit more bold than your usual writes, but it came out so well. You dove deep and pulled out a lot of stuff here that just visually and it just was deep and emotional. So very good job, young lady.
Thank
you for sharing it.
Awesome comment. Great comments, everyone. Awesome poem. And we have two left, you guys. We have I'm sure to be an amazing recording from Frank, and then I will read for Heavenly Angel. So if you guys click on Poetic Picasso, and I'm peeking. Okay, yes, lately I'm peeking so that I can give a warning that the end will be shock, bulk, loud, and scary and freaky. No,
Deb,
remember
I would
I
love to stay, but I have school in the morning, and I'm getting over a cold. But have a good night, everyone, and I'll see about writing for more topics this week. It really depends on my schedule since I started a new program.
Okay, well, I hope you feel better. And I'm glad you were able to call me and read for us.
All right, good night, Allie.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, guys.
All righty. If we have the last two, so go ahead and click on Frank's poem. And I will push play
May 2nd. Here it is. Okay, here we go.
Upon the fourth night of a lunar eclipse of a penumbral shade rises a sinister shadow of ancient cows after the twilight, seeking to unleash the terror of the souls of immortal flesh and skulls, dwelling in the realm of numerous mazes of phantasmic galling dreams. An insurmountable fear begins to persist deep into the minds of people whose towns are haunted by the hollow specters of the Mark's Night. As she walks upon the dry jasmines and floats upon the tainted rivers, whispering into the wind her echoic breath and fragrance of death. Urban legend says that if water is used to paint an image onto a mirror, the crawling spirit will then inhabit the painted essence of the mirror, where a ghastly reflection of a woman appears certainly to mesmerize. The foolish children gazing into the ineffable evil of her ebony eyes. Stare, if you dare to invoke the old presence of a horrifying countenance. When you do, beware of the crimson blood pouring from her dilated pupils, as her rattle exhausts with the thick thorns of the shriven secrets. The glass of ear breaks the silence. With a resounding screeching scream.
Franklin.
Calm down, Frank.
Oh my goodness! I love how the room is
every
up when
time,
the room is up, right? And that now you have that grumpy, screeching, haunted, ghosty. You know. That breathy thing he does at the end before the laugh. Talk about dramatic read.
Yeah.
You can really pick any spot. Let me see. As she walks upon the dried jasmines and floats upon the tainted rivers, whispering into the wind with her echoic breath and fragrance of death. The details, I think that there was a little bit for each of the senses, what you could see and what you could hear, and I mean even the scent of death. So it's just like a walk through the darkness with a haunting, with a demon voice. I mean, wow. He can really kick butt with his voice, don't you think? The details that the storyline, the sound effects, the background, it's like the total package. But I love how, even in the middle of the breathy, monsterish breath and then that laugh, I could hear Linda laugh. And I love that, I love that Frank's able to entertain so much that we can't contain ourselves sometimes. That's just really cool. And because of that laughter, let me go directly to Linda. What do you think?
Thank you. Well, Frank gets me every time. It doesn't matter how I prepare myself through the poem. When it finally happens, I just can't stop. But awesome job, Frank. You've done it again. You are so good at this. I think if we hooked you up with Alfred Hitchcock, we'd have just a insanity. But I loved your interpretation of Yugaikyo. She was a horrid deal, and you brought out every scary, sneaky part of her, and just, I don't know, I'm trying to search for the word. It gets into your veins and your bloodstream, and the fear just builds and builds. But I love your work, Frank. You can come do that for me anytime. You're awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Great comment. He infiltrated your brain.
Yeah.
David, what did you think?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you, Frank is a master of theatrical reading, isn't he? He's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was a pretty scary poem, you know, and he's really good at this sort of thing. I like the saying, the last stanza, urban legend says that if water is used to paint her image onto a mirror, the crawling spirit will then inhabit the patent essence of the mirror, where a ghastly reflection of a woman appears suddenly to mesmerize some of the children. Inevitable evil of her ebony eyes. Wow. That's I've written several poems about mirrors, and they're spooky because they look back at you, and I liked that Frank put that in there in his poem. It's really well done. I like the way Frank writes, and I like the way he reads even better.
Yeah, hear.
Awesome comment. And my sweet?
You did again.
I lost my... Nope. She must have had to take the dogs out. Hatter, will you comment, please?
Yeah. Now, I wonder if he went and searched this Ungoko. How do you say it? Ungoko? Ungoko. Ungoko. Ungeko. I'm just wondering if he looked up in... if you looked it up to see what if it's a legend or a demon, he used the word phantasmagoric, mazes of phantasmagoric dreams. I wonder if I have those. I love the way he uses the words. He expresses them with that voice, that beautiful back voice he's got. The description of the mirror. Mirrors in the dark ages. you asked Dave why. I can't remember exactly what you said, but I wanted to say because that's why they call them the dark ages. They stayed in castles and lived in fear. And most of the time outside was muddy and diseased, and urban legend says that if water is used to paint her image onto the mirror. At one time, mirrors were considered evil. Introduced a world like a Ouija board.
Oh, yeah.
Basically cover mirrors.
If you look on the chat wall, you can see the photo that he wrote to.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you can see how spot on.
Yeah.
Amazing.
The hair's coming out hanging on the frame.
a little bloody right there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Did I let everybody comment?
The killer official.
I think so. Okay. All right. The last poem for the night, before I read that, let me just shout out that tomorrow night at 11 p.m., it is Pretty Bird show, What the Flock? And her prompt is the word nefarious, however you pronounce it. You know, one of those tomato words, nefarious. And she wrote, oh, those wicked ways. Let's discuss criminal minds or wicked hearts. Twist it however it pulls you. So wherever that word sends you is what Pretty Bird would like to hear. Oh, and I apologize. I said at 11, and noticing here that the board says 10. So 10 p.m. this week or this month. I hope to see you there. And then as my sweet said, she's got some open poetry for Wednesday nights. And I will also put up the peak for my show next week after I say thank you to everyone. In the meantime, if you guys click on Angel's poem, I will read for her. And her poem is called In the End, I'll Handle the Pain by Heavenly Angel. Cloaked in a shroud of thick, barbed sadness, fighting for the air I breathe, depression, constricting throat, leaving its mark on porcelain flesh. Why is it that pain stands out like a single raindrop from an ebony sky? Why hasn't the gnawing gut pain subsided? It's been a year since we met the silence of her respiration. Perhaps there's a limit to the grieving that the human heart can do. A point where screams of why must this be will be a forgotten thought. I just need to search with a peace in the buried twilight, listening for the whisper of the Creator. All is well. For one day, it will be. End poem. Wow. You know, a lot of times, that question pops up, you know, how long will it take? When do you stop grieving? Is there a limit? I say no. I say that you just
right.
can't control what gets you. If you are grieving, you need to grieve as long as it takes to make it bearable.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us. Yeah, a lot of us rely on the fact that, you know, one day we'll meet again, but sometimes that's just not enough. You just want to spend an hour with that person just one more time, you know, and it's a very painful thing, and gnawing is a great word. Why hasn't mm-hmm. the gnawing gut pain subsided? It's just the loss is just so monumental that, in my opinion, it never goes away, because years later and something will happen and I'll still want to grab the phone and call my mom. Off topic for a moment. I can remember when the when the first plane had hit the Twin Towers, and I knew that my mom was quite a few miles from home at work, and I was like, and this was before we knew it was a plane. And I said, Mom, they're bombing us. I need you to come home. I can't stand the thought that you're that far away. What if they close the road or blow up? I mean, you know, so from the bad things to the little things that you just want to call. And each time that happens, it's another gut punch that you can't, you know, there's no telephones there. So it's just like a very powerful poem. And I know that it was a recently, like in the last handful of days, that it's been the sad year anniversary of the loss of her mom. So that kind of loss is heavy on her mind. So this is a very powerful poem, and it's always my honor to be her reader. Thank you, Angel, and I'm sorry for your sad anniversary. Hatter, what do you think? Oh, his call dropped. Okay. Linda, what did you think, hon?
Well, I thought it was intensely beautiful. And, yeah, I know the feeling. It's like Phantom Mom when you go to call her and then remember that she's not with you any longer. I call it my Phantom Mom. And it's hard because grief is something that never really does go away. It just kind of subsides slightly into our heart. But this was a very beautiful way of showing that. And I love this line. It's been a year since we met the silence of her respiration. What a lovely way to say that somebody's dead, you know. I just thought it was well orchestrated and very well written. Thank you, Angel. Thank you for sharing.
Beautiful comment, Linda. And David, what did you think?
Well, I really like this. Angel has a really, really brilliant way of expressing herself, and she's courageous about it. She comes right out and says, hey, this is what's in my heart, and I wrote a poem about it, and I really admire her for that. She's always eloquent with the way she writes. She always writes with a lot of grace and style, and this poem reflects that in spades. You know, I've had people tell me from losses of my own, they say, well, time will heal all wounds. Time does not heal all those wounds. All it does is it dims the pain down a little bit. Sometimes it dims both the pain and the memory, but they're still there, and it doesn't take but one smell or one instant to bring it all right back, just to almost like the day it happened. And I have a picture of Zephyr, the clicky toenail dog that we all came to know, and I have a picture of him on a coffee cup, and it sits in my nightstand. I don't even like putting coffee into it or anything. And I sat there and I looked at him, and it all came back to me, and it just put tears in my eyes instantly. It's just like someone turned on a switch. And, you know, it's that's the way this is what this poem, you know, says to me anyway. It is a gnawing pain. It's either in your gut or in your heart, and most of the time it's in both places. So I thought this was really, really well written. Congratulations on such a fine poem, Angel. You really illustrated this well.
That was an amazing comment. Thank you, David. And Linda, before I close out, did you have any shows that you want to push or anything, hon?
Yes, I have a show on A Team of Voices coming up June 10th at, I believe it's 10 p.m. Eastern. I'll have to get with Deb about that. And then I have one coming up on the 3rd Saturday of May at 9 p.m. Eastern on La Cosa Nostra. Come to the Liquid Damage Lounge and have some fun. I tell some stupid jokes. We get a little laugh and have some fun. So be there or be square.
Awesome. Sounds like a
David.
Plan.
I don't want to be square. No square.
That
would be
cute, right?
I love you,
guys. Love you back. So amazing poetry, everyone.
Thanks,
you guys never cease to amaze me, I swear. And I want to shout out a special thank you to my board, Hatter and AP and Sweet. I mean, I don't know what Sweet and I are going to do with Hatter and AP because they keep getting injury after injury after surgery after surgery. I just need them to heal and be out of pain and stop this battle to see who I don't even know what, you know. But anyway, I'd also like to say thank you to Sky and Steven and Allie and Angel and Frank and Wayne for the poems and for calling. I appreciate you very much. And I want to say thank you to David and Linda for hanging out with me till the very last minute as we finished up the last few poems.
Yeah, really.
All the time, showing up for my shows every Monday, you use it right for them ahead of time. I mean, you all really know how to make a girl feel special. I'm glad that we all get to spend so much time together.
Hey, Deb, are you having a show next Monday?
I am. And my
show. I was going to say,
next week, this show is on the seven wonders of the world. And I have some gorgeous images from so many different wonders from all over the world. And and Frank is still here at the very end as well. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that. Yes, I put the link on the board. If you guys click on it, you can see all the different stuff. I have the wonders of the world that, you know, that we've all heard of, and then there's various wonders that maybe you might not have heard of. All of them are just as amazing as the last one. And what I did for that is I turned around and I put a whole bunch of quotes about the wonders of the world, whether it's from song lyrics. For example, the one that everybody would probably think of by Fleetwood Mac, If I Live to See the Seven Wonders. But then I took all the different quotes that I pulled together and made a word bank out of them, so you can choose your quotes, your words, and then use those to dazzle me. And I'll be looking forward to see what places we travel to next week. And on that note, I'm pretty sure that covers everyone, and I am going to mosey over here to the board, and I'm going to find that delightful song that none other than Jay Hatter wrote, that the amazing Shout Even Shy wrote music to, and play that for us as we go out. And again, I appreciate you all more than you can even imagine. Love and respect.
Thanks.
Here comes the song.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down to run away and watching.
that shall even shine. Thanks for writing that, Hatter. Love and respect, everyone. Night, Hatter.